Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this really important session. Before I start, I just want to say this is the second time this has happened. We were going to do a parenting thing at the home of Lauren and Gary J. So this is in their honor, and I want to thank them for spreading it around, but we will get there. We're going to make one at your house in Mirtz Hashem soon. So this particular session is a very specific one, and it's very important.
Recording in progress.
Oh. And it's a very, very important session. Also, I want to just say that I'm happy for people to ask questions in the chat, and hopefully towards the end of it, we will get to them. Now, this is not a general parenting session as we've done in the past, although obviously some important parenting ideas definitely play a role in this discussion. So, a little bit of background. So, first of all, I think we're gonna do some general introductions and then go to some specific strategies. Now, when I planned this session, it was before lockdown, and it was still a very, very important topic. But it's still important. In fact, perhaps it's even more important now, because whether lockdown or not, getting children involved in the month of Tishrei is such an important thing. Getting kids involved in anything in Yiddishkeit is important thing, but particularly when it comes to the month of Tishrei, we know that Tishrei is a Chodesh Yesoidi. It's a very fundamental month. It's a month which is Mashpia. It gives influence. It impacts the entire year. That's why we know the famous Vort, that Rosh Hashanah is not called Tchilas Hashanah, it's not called the beginning of the year, but it's called the head of the year, because whatever we do, and the whole month is like the head of the year. Just like the head impacts the entire body, so too Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and by extension the whole Chodesh Tishrei impacts the entire year. So therefore it's really, really important to rev up the atmosphere in the home, and that includes getting the children very much involved, because as they are involved and they come with us on the journey, the more it has an impact on the rest of the year. Now, of course, this year is very, very different, and therefore some of the strategies may be a little bit different, that we're going to talk about some of them, but how much more so this year, more than any other year, we have to make sure that they're on target and they're with us and they're traveling the journey together with us. Obviously, that means that we have to make sure that we are traveling the journey, as we'll soon talk, but that's certainly even more important this year. Now, there's no time like Chodesh Tishrei, where the concept of hachana, the concept of preparing for the mitzvah is so emphasized. By the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a month of Elul, right? He gave us an entire month to prepare for the Chodesh Tishrei, for the concepts of Chodesh Tishrei, for the mitzvahs of Chodesh Tishrei. It emphasizes to such an amazing degree. We don't have that by other mitzvahs. But, I mean, we have the concept by other chagim, of the idea of Shloshim Yoim, 30 days before the Chag, but it's such a, with Tishrei, it's a tremendous emphasis, because we have the whole concept of Elul, right? Which is really a concept, really a preparation for the month of Tishrei. Now we have idea, you know, there's a Hasidic concept which needs to be explained. Let me just explain it for a second, where they talk about the idea of the Hechsher Mitzvah being higher than the Mitzvah, which means with the preparation for the Mitzvah being even more important than the Mitzvah itself. Now let me clarify and qualify that idea. Obviously, it doesn't mean at all that the preparation of the mitzvah is more important than the mitzvah. The whole idea is to get to the mitzvah, and of course, there's nothing more important than the mitzvah itself. But what it means is that when a person does a mitzvah, or a person celebrates a yontif or a Shabbos or a mitzvah, it is very possible just to go through the motions. You did it, you fulfilled your obligation, it came, it went, but you didn't have a relationship with it. And if we didn't have a relationship with it, how much more so our children didn't have a relationship with it. It didn't become part of them. It didn't become part of their journey, their atmosphere, their mindset, their whole attitude, right? In other words, you could go through a month of Chodesh Tishrei, for example. We could do all the mitzvahs correctly, but we didn't have a relationship with the month. And therefore, we are taught that when you prepare for a mitzvah, it's in the preparation where you build the relationship. It's in the preparation for the mitzvah where you mamash build a connection, a kesher, a shaychus, with the mitzvah or the time that we're preparing for, right? Like the Gemara says, whoever prepares for Shabbos has what to eat on Shabbos. On a simple level, that means, of course, if you make cholent before, you'll have what you have cholent to eat on Shabbos. But Obviously, on a deeper level, it means the more you prepare for a Shabbos, the more you get out of the Shabbos. So the more we prepare for Tishrei, the more we prepare and we communicate that preparation effectively with our children, the more we'll all get out of it, and the more they'll be connected to it and build a relationship with it, and they'll be able, hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, to take away the Kedusha, the Ahavas Hashem, the Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem, the love of Hashem, that is so embedded in this month, and they'll be able to take it with them throughout the year. Now, this idea of really preparing and finding ways to communicate the importance and the holiness of month of Tishrei to our children, of course, fits into some fundamental principles of parenting that we've all talked about in the past. So just very, very briefly, they're so even more connected to the month of Tishrei. First of all, we know, we talked about this, I'll just mention it very briefly, but it's so important here as well, that when we talk about communicating values to children, and Tishrei is full of values, tshuva, the mitzvahs, everything about Tishrei, every yont, every day has another concept towards it. There's three ways that it needs to be done. One way it needs to be done is a lot of discussion previously, starting, if you haven't done it yet, starting from now. Passion, they need to see how excited we are to come to the month of Tishrei, how revved up we are in terms of coming to the month of Tishrei. And of course, that shows also an example, the preparation that we're going to talk about engaging the children with to prepare for the month of Tishrei. We have to be able to have that preparation as well and show an example. In other words, the month of Tishrei is a different kind of month. It's a different reality. We know that Elul and Tishrei, the Baalei Musar tell us, the Svarim tell us that when people would come to Elul and Tishrei, Tzadikim, Gedolim, they would go into a whole different realm. Obviously, we're not that Madrega, but we have to a little bit. Elul needs a shift, and our children need to see that shift. The month of Tishrei, for sure, even in lockdown, specifically in lockdown. So therefore, that concept is very important. So the discussion we have with children, the excitement we start to build up now, and the example that we set is very, very important. The second concept is, and I've said this many, many times, this is a general parenting thing, but it's so important. The culture is more important than the instruction. Let me say that slowly. Culture in the home is more important than the instruction. In other words, the atmosphere that we build up in the home just by talking and the avir and the whole goings on and the vibe which we create in our homes is much more effective and has much more influence and impact on our children than specific instructions. Yeah, we can tell them on Rosh Hashanah they must daven, they must make kiddush, they must eat an apple and honey, they must do this, they must do that. But that's okay, but it's very limited and we have to do that, of course. But much more impactful is the atmosphere and the vibe that we create in the home. And the third thing that I want to sort of really look at is that whatever we do now in preparing for the month of Tishrei, and whatever we do during Tishrei, we have to ensure that our children are not spectators. This is really important, particularly this year. We have to make sure they're not spectators. We have to get them involved in the process. Doesn't matter what age. I'm going to go through a bunch of strategies of maybe how we can do this, but we have to get them involved in the whole process of whatever we're doing. They have to be part of what's going to happen. So I want to look at lots of strategies and lots of ideas, but three introductions. First of all, these are just things that I came up with or that I've done in previous years or things that I've thought about this year. However, people need to be creative and use this just as ideas and create your own ideas, right? I'm just giving sort of a framework and ideas sparking some discussion. The second thing I want to say is that what I'm going to go through now, I'm not going to stop at each one to explain, but you need to know that each one relates to different ages. So I'll say the ideas and you might have children that their age is not relevant. It's not relevant for them. So don't worry, skip it over. Do it next year, the year after. But just some will be more connected to three-year-olds. Some you have to wait till 8 years old, whatever the case is. So I'll just sort of go through the different concepts and go through the different ideas. But they really, you need to decide what the age and how much of it you apply and what level you apply and how involved they can get and so on and so forth. And the third thing, of course, is whenever you go to any parenting thing, all you need to know at the end of the day, you need to do what works for you. These are just to spark discussion and spark ideas, but you need to do what works for you. And you need to think about what idea works for you, what concept works for you, what doesn't work for you, what could work for you, and so on and so forth, and apply it appropriately. The main thing is the goal is the same. The goal is to build up a real excitement and a real involvement and a real relationship with the month of Tishrei. Okay. So, I'm going to divide this into different sections. Section one is planning. Start now. Start now. We have a Chodesh Elul for a reason, so start now. When I say start now in just getting into the mood, the mindset of Tishrei. For example, start even when you take walks with your kids, talking about the month of Tishrei, talking about the different chagim, talking about some of the halachas, talk about, by a supper table, talk about the importance of the month of Tishrei. What does it mean? What is tshuva? What does Elul mean? We've still got 2 weeks left to Elul. What does that mean? What should we do? The idea of cheshbon ha-nefesh, the idea of what it actually means, looking back at the year. Stories of the seriousness of Elul, that different tzaddikim and gedolim would experience or talk about during the month of Elul. Talk about the seriousness of Chodesh Tishrei. How every yontif represents a different thing. How Rosh Hashanah is not it's a different kind of yontif. It's not a yontif we just stump, socialize, and play games. It's more serious. We say tilim, we do things, whatever the case is. Build up the expectation. Everything that we build up, by the way, it's not a checklist. We can never say it once and just assume that it's absorbed. You have to keep on talking about it. Keep on talking about it. Sing nigunim. I would really, really much encourage people, encourage parents as much as possible. Take the songs from the davening that you used to in shul. Take the songs that that they learn in school, or dong songs of davening, or vino malkeinu, whatever songs you sing in shul, whatever shul you go to, whatever. Take a machzor now and start singing the songs of Tishrei. Sing the songs of Rosh Hashanah. Sing the songs of Yom Kippur. When it gets a bit closer, sing the songs of Sukkot. The songs of Hallel, whatever the case is. Singing is very, very powerful. We know that singing has a tremendous impact. Don't only do it on Shabbos, even during the week maybe. If it works, by the supper table, sing a nigun a night. Okay. Tell lots of stories. We talked about the seriousness of Tishrei and what Tishrei means. Tell stories. Stories, you can look them up. Today we can Google them on the different websites. Eish.com, Marsameach.com, Chabad.org. All these different websites have plenty of stories. Some of the stories they've heard, some of the stories they haven't heard. Share it. Share those stories. Stories are very powerful. Divrei Torah are very powerful, of course, but especially young children, a story a day, a story every 2 days, whatever the case is. Another thing, some of you, again, I don't know exactly all the audience that I'm talking to over here, but some of you might have earlier memories of times you spent in yeshiva, time you spent in different communities for the month of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I know, for example, when my children were very young, I'd often spend a lot of Elul relating to them stories of when I spent Tishrei by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, which is very powerful. Some of you might have spent the Tishrei in Yeshiva. Yeshiva is always a tremendous experience. In a seminary in Israel one time, whatever the case is. If you have memories, let them into your life. If you have memories of earlier Tishrei, share them with your children. It's a very, very, I found that a very powerful tool. Obviously, as now, I mean, it's a bit difficult, challenging time as they're learning on school, on Zoom learning, whatever the case is. But nevertheless, I'm sure some of them are doing well, maybe not as well as they were doing in school face-to-face, but nevertheless, ask them, find out what they're learning specifically about Elul and Tishrei. Ask them to share things that they're learning. Ask them to share the things that they've made. Some of the younger kids I know are doing arts and crafts. Yeshakur to the teachers. I don't know how teachers do this, but they're doing it somehow, and it's pretty amazing. So, find out what they're doing. Another thing to do this year particularly is discuss with your children the uniqueness of the coming year. It's a special year next year for two reasons. First of all, it's a Shnas HaShmita. It's a Shmita year. Shmita has many lessons. Shmita is not part of the normal Tishrei discussion, but Shmita itself, the mitzvah of Shmita, has tremendous lessons. Lessons of Emunah, lessons of Bitochin. So it's such a relevant discussion to have now. Open up Parshas Bahar. Parshas Bahar is the mitzvah of Shmita. Have a look at some of the Mefarshim, Hebrew, English, whatever the case is, and discuss it, the fact that it's a special year coming up. It's a year of Kedusha. It's a year where the Torah refers to it as a Shabbos year in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not just Eretz Yisrael. It's everywhere in the world. It's got a certain halachas that apply everywhere. It's a very special Kedusha this coming year, right? It's a Shnas Ho'ibur. It's a leap year coming up. A leap year, there's many, many ideas behind the leap year. Also discuss them, if they're a bit older, what is a leap year? Why do we have a leap year? Because of Nissan, if you're not sure, look at it. Again, these things can all be looked up. I'm giving homework to the parents here, but that's good, because part of this idea is not just the parenting thing. The parenting thing was just an excuse to get you here. No, I'm just kidding. It was, it's very, very important. But the truth is, it's so important that we do it ourselves as well. That we get into the mood. We learn extra. We say extra tilim and so on. So therefore, it's good that we should do a bit of research into what Shmita means, into what Ashnasa Ibura, Iburyar, leap year means, why we have a leap year, what a leap year means philosophically. There's an idea I'll just share with you quickly, that the whole idea of a leap year is to catch up the year, right? Which means that this is a year where we catch up things that we've missed previously. It's a concept behind a leap year. That, you know, this is one of the years, every Elul we do tshuva, we make up what we missed during the year. But this year, when it comes to Shnasa Ibra, leap year, it's a special kind of year, because a year that's going to bring perfection to anything we might have missed in not only last year, but the last few years. That's the idea of Shnasa Ibra, that catches us up, and so on. I'm just talking about the planning, the getting now, the building it up, building up the atmosphere. Before we get to the planning specifics of the Yom Tov, but just building up the atmosphere. It's a nice idea when you have very young kids, perhaps every day. People have a minute, I'm not going to say Tillim at night, but during the day, maybe just say a few extra psukim of Tillim with our children, right? It's brought down in Sfarim that Elul is a very special time to say Tillim, which is why we add, one of the reasons we add chapter 27, the David Hashem Oiri. If you're able to blow shofar for your children, blow them, but say an extra tilim. Perhaps give your children, we know that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and many other poskim, of course, bring the different acronyms of the word Elul, Rosh HaTevis, right? And they refer to Torah, Tefillah, Tzedakah. Maybe give your child a extra coin for Tzedakah every day, right? Let them give extra Tzedakah every day, just in honor of Elul. Any extra thing you do builds the impression that it's Elul. It's a new time, it's a different time, right? And then we're talking about the acronyms. You can look it up and then different places that remind them, go through the acronyms of Elul. This is something you have to do lots of times because it takes time to remember it, right? I want to mention also, and I think particularly this is this year, this is something we can learn to do, we can do, and we can maybe do it particularly at meals. And it has extra emphasis this year because also what it'll do is it'll keep us away from discussing all the nonsense that we are tempted to discuss. Which is not healthy. It's not a healthy thing altogether. All the negativity, all the lockdowns. We do agree with the government. We don't agree with the government. It's harsh. It's crazy. It's stupid. Which is probably all true. But that's not the point. The point is that we shouldn't be immersed in this. We should be immersed in Elul. It's Elul. Whether it's lockdown, whether the government's doing the right thing, not doing the right thing. That's too harsh. Yes, harsh. Not harsh. It's Elul. Bottom line is it's Elul. The Eibishter runs the world. Whatever's happening is Yad Hashem. Of course, we have Bitochen and we have Amunah. It's all going to pass very quickly. We'll get back to normal. But particularly now we have to move into the Elul zone, the Elul space, and forget about all the how many cases and how many this and how many that. And let's just get into Elul and Tishrei. It's much more healthier that we have to. Okay, so that's the idea. We start now just building up all these things, stories, Divrei Torah, Nigunim, as I said before, all these things just to extra stock, extra tillim, just build it into the day in a nice way, in a beautiful way, in a warm way. Obviously, again, also the messaging to children. I mean, I think this is an obvious thing. To talk about the seriousness of Elul and Tishrei, but to do it in the context of Simcha, and a context of understanding how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us. The famous idea, everyone's familiar with the idea of Melech Basadeh, the Eibish is in the field, he's very accessible, there's a time we can daven, there's a time that Hashem listens to our tefillahs even more. You know, all those concepts, the point of tonight wasn't to share with you Divrei Torah, but this idea that it's a beautiful time, it's a time of a tremendous closeness, and it doesn't matter what situation we're in, but it's a time of closeness with Hashem. I'm looking at the names of some of the participants. I see some of you are very young children, but you should know that it's very important to start very, very young. Not all of these things apply, but even if it's very young children, 1, 2, singing Nigunim of Yontif, it has a hashpah, it has an influence, it has an impact. So all these things are still relevant, very, very relevant. Okay, now, the next part of what I want to talk about is we have to involve our children in the planning of the actual Yom Tov. So let me give you a couple of ideas of what I mean, right? And this year, maybe in a way it's hard, in a way it's easier. We all plan. I mean, Yom Tov is coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow night. And we got a plan. We got to plan the menu. We got to plan the cooking. We got to plan the challis. You got to plan the shopping list. Lots of things we have to plan to make sure that we have a Yom Tov. It doesn't matter if we have guests or not. The fact is, the Yom Tov is going to go ahead, right? So, things that we maybe just do as part of our regular organization, some people are already planning now, some people are less organized, they plan a week before, 2 days before. It doesn't matter when you plan. Whenever you plan, it's really important on every level to involve your children. A simple thing, for example, You need to make a shopping list. For example, we all know what we need the first night, right? We need simonim, we need the apple, we need the honey, we need the pomegranate. Whatever we need, sit down with your children. Make the shopping list with your children. Involve them. Let them tell you. Come help me. Let's make a list what we need. Let's plan. So what do we need? We need an apple. In the meantime, you bring it into the discussion. Why do we need an apple? Honey. We need a pomegranate. What else do we need? Different minhagim, different families, different customs. Involve them in the planning to what you need. A fish head. Where are we going to get a fish head this year? Which store? Everything. All the details. Have a family meeting. Involve your children, the young children particularly, in the shopping lists of Tishrei. Now, it's not just the simonim, the chalas. So what kind of chalas are we going to buy? Why are we going to have these chalas and so on and so forth? Things like, okay, do we have enough candles? So how many nights of benching licht is this? We have to make sure we have extra candles. Things like, I'm just shooting out ideas. You can come up with many more. I'm sure many of you are much more creative than I am. But for example, part of your shopping list, we need to make sure we have 24 hours or 48 hour candles with us. Why do we need that? It's a chance to talk about the halachas. Everyone knows that we on Yom Tov, we light candles, but you can only light candles from an existing flame. So therefore, we might need 48 hour candles. So the next night, the second night, we can still do that. Oh, we also need a new fruit. Why do we need a new fruit? Chance for the discussion, because it's a problem of Shechayana the second night. What kind of new fruit? What are they like? What haven't they had it? What haven't they had yet? What kind of, some people like, all these exotic fruits that you can get in the fruit stores. Some people like this one, some people like that one. Whatever it is, involve them in the thing, right? What else do we need? We're going to be at home this year. What else do we need? We need a machzor. Do we have a machzor? Let's go check the bookshelf. Do we have machzorim? Do we have machzor for Rosh Hashanah? Do we have machzor for Yom Kippur? Do we have a slichus for next week? Right? These are things, by the way, even parents need to think about, just practically. But it's a very, very, I'm just saying it because it's really, really important to actually involve the children. Now, I have heard, the schools have been doing some of this work. I saw just, I was sent from Kesetura, just some beautiful things that was happening in the primary school and the high school, checklists and stuff that they made. I think, talk to Rabbi Chaitin or Chai Garari. My daughter-in-law, they were both involved in doing this, some amazing stuff about organizing. Because another thing that has to be done is, again this year, I would involve children, before we get to davening, I'm going to do davening separately, but also it would be really good, especially young children, just to get them into the hole and get the house. You see, there's another issue this year I want to just emphasize. This is always important, what I'm about to say, but the truth is this year it's even more important. There's a certain, we take these things for granted, you know, but just, I don't want to make anyone depressed, but you know, when normally it comes this time of the year, we walk into shul slichas time or erev Rosh Hashanah time or Rosh Hashanah morning, and the shul looks different, right? Because everything's white. The Sefer Torah has got a white mantle. The Pareichas is white. It has a big impact. This year, unfortunately, it looks like children are not going to see that. Our children are not going to be able to see that. So we have to make the house look like Rosh Hashanah, right? As much as possible. Our house has to become the shul. But even before we get to davening, even things like creating, designing, with children, a chart, for example, about all the times of the times of lichtbenchen, times of candle lighting time. A list of what has to be done, what day, right? Sometimes you go to shul, the rabbi gets up and he says, don't forget, tonight you have to eat your apple and honey, before, after, etc. Second night, either before Kiddush, after Kiddush, different minhagim. Go through with this, all of these things with your children. Let them write it down, let them design it or design it with them. Make sure it's on the fridge, make posters, make things around the house that will make the house look like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are coming. Now, that leads in, of course, to the third thing. Again, please, if anyone has any questions, please put in the chat. Okay. Now, this comes to a very, very important part. This year, it's really, really, really important to plan the davening outright. Okay, so let's just face the reality. We hope for a nes, and we hope for things to radically change, and it could. We are used to amunah, and anything can happen. But our job is to plan the way things are now. The way things are now is there's not going to be any minyanim, nor should there be any minyanim. I just want to make that clear. People shouldn't make minyanim. It's a chas v'sholem. It's a big. It could be a big bichil Hashem. Whether it's a good law, a bad law, that's not the thing. But we've got to be extremely, extremely careful without going into details, of course. So I'm given the given. The given is that there's no minyanim, and we're all davening in our home. I should just mention, obviously, there's nothing to do with parenting, but I mean, we're going to do this at Bin also. I'm sure everyone's going to do this. Shofar is still being worked out exactly how it can be done for lots of people, but obviously, shofar is not an option. The mitzvah of shofar has to be done, obviously, in the most safe and compliant way, but everyone should be in touch with their rav closest to the time, or if they can't blow themselves, exactly how they're going to blow, how they're going to hear shofar, where they're going to hear shofar. So, I mean, every rav is going to make sure, of course, that the members hear shofar in the best possible way. Okay, but let's talk about davening, for example. So davening, we're going to daven at home. It's really, really important, particularly for our children, that we create an atmosphere of structure as best as possible and as similar as possible to shul. These years, especially the years of shul, is very, very, very important, the impact that they have. Now, this means different things for different children, as it would always mean different things for different children, right? In other words, whatever your children would normally do, now it could be that your very young children weren't going to come to shul anyways, or they were just going to come to shul for 10 minutes, that's fine. But I think, especially if your children are a little bit older, even as young as 6, 7, 8, whatever the case is, you need to sit down with them and you need to plan with them the shul. Plan with them the shul means a few things. Where are you going to daven? Where in the house is going to be the shul? And closer to Rosh Hashanah, set it up. It should be machzorim. If you've got a shtender in your house, make it that part of the thing. The times, when are we going to daven? Zmanei HaTfilah. Rosh Hashanah night, Rosh Hashanah day. When are we going to daven? Involve them, right? Make times. Appoint one of your children the gabbai of the shul. Or gabbai for first day, gabbai for second day, if they're old enough, whatever the case is. Maybe even some of them could be the rabbi each day. They can give a dvar Torah in the middle of davening. Like there's a drasha, maybe one member of the family every time, give a different word, right? Plan that. Now, just as you would normally do, and I do this I used to do this every year, I should say, right? Sit down with my children ahead of time, very, very important ahead of time, and go through the machzer. Now, a lot of it has been covered in school, and what I'm suggesting is that parents don't ask their children what they know from school already, right? And what material they have from school, and so on and so forth. So, go through the machzer with them. Now, as you would normally do, I've done this with my children when they were very young. Every year we'd go through that, would make up with them, and it only works if you do this ahead of time, even with the issue, but especially now, make up with them, negotiate with them, whatever the case is, how long they're going to spend in shul, this year in the house shul, what are they going to daven, what are the parts they're going to daven, what part are they going to be in, out, whatever the case is, right? Do that now as well. Make up. This is the times we're going to daven. This is shachris, and this is the more the time we're going to get to musaf. You want the child to come in for a very young child, maybe just come in for your avinu malkeinu, let's say. Or if you're able to blow shofar yourself, they come in for shofar. Because if you're not able to blow shofar yourself, maybe shofar won't fit with davening. It'll be after davening or before, whatever the case is. But make up exactly when they're going to do it. When they're going to be part of shul. Which nigunim are they going to come to shul? Now, in other words, you're going to be davening, but you're going to ask them to come in certain times, other times they can go out. Now, I know in our shul, for example, we have certain incentives that we give shul throughout Tishrei, older ones, different ones, younger ones, different ones, that if they're good and they daven, what, you know, a prize or a raffle, whatever the case is, do that at home. Structure it before. Now, I want to make just an important point, which is actually true about davening a whole year round, but it's specifically true about Rosh Hashanah. The way you get children to daven is not by standing on their head on the day, right? That's really, really important. In other words, this is true with every time, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, every day, right? You negotiate before, you talk about it before, you plan ahead, you offer incentives. On the day, let's say you want your child to come in for the Amidah, for Shema and Amidah, for example, let's say, right? So they'll come in, they know the place, you make sure they have the place, and they're davening. Don't drive them crazy. Don't look at if they're saying every word, they're not saying every word. That's not the point. The main thing is they should see how you daven. Normally, hopefully, they'll see our whole shul davens, but till this year not. This year they'll watch you daven. And they'll watch how you davening, how serious you taking it. They'll say whatever they say. If they're good daveners, some kids are better daveners than others, that's fine. As long as they get the atmosphere. Make sure that you plan ahead all the nigunim you're going to sing during davening. Normally the shul does that for you. This year you have to do it for yourself. You have to decide what nigunim are going to be sung during davening, and then what nigunim do you want your children to be there for. Practice them before. As we said before, singing nigunim is in general is a good thing anyway. Practice them before. Make sure they all they know it. And when it gets to that part of davening, sing it as a family together. Just as a shul, the rabbi drives you crazy to sing loud and to make sure everyone's singing, do it yourself. Make sure the family's singing. Make sure it's got an atmosphere of davening, right? And again, every child will be in a different time, right? Again, some of the charts coming home from school will assist you with this and use it. Use the material, some really good material coming out of the schools. So make sure you use it and make sure that you can use it. If not, do your own, whatever the case is. But that planning is really, really important. But I'll say again in summary, structure is going to be crucial this year. Otherwise, it won't have the feel of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur at all. Yom Kippur is going to be a little bit harder, for example. I mean, we daven less because no Chazaras Hashatz. So obviously, it's less davening. Obviously, the more you can say the piyutim, if you know how to say it, the nigunim, the more the better. But now, by the way, I just should point out we have two sessions planned before Rosh Hashanah and two sessions planned before Yom Kippur. One more basic, one more advanced, just to help people to help people daven at home. I don't have the details with me, but it's all over the thing. At the end, Rabbi Levi will share with us exactly when they are. But that's a really important Zoom session if you can come on, because we're going to go through that, exactly what you can leave out, what you shouldn't leave out, what you can say, and also some insights of Divrei Torah, which you can use during davening. Just like a lot of shuls do explanations during davening, do it with your children if they're old enough. Study things together even during davening. For example, coming Yom Kippur, a big part of the Yom Kippur machzor and musaf is the avodah. So this year you're going to have to do a little bit of homework yourself, and we'll help you. But very important to go. You can actually use it as a learning session with your children. But the structure, as I said before, is really important. And like, for example, Yom Kippur is going to be a little bit harder. Maybe you need to plan a walk during the day, like if we're allowed to, right? Plan a walk during the day because it'll need to be broken up a little bit. Maybe it'll need to be a learning session during the day. Whatever works for you. But the structure is really, really important. I'm just seeing something in the chat box. It's just on how to spend Yom Kippur. Davening will take as long, exactly. So it's going to be hard. So maybe there's other activities we'll do. I mean, other activities you need to think of. Maybe there's some content, Yom Kippur type games you can play, quizzes you can make, fun things you can do, walks you can take. You need to plan out the day Yom Kippur. That's absolutely true. It's going to be a little bit harder this year, because it's not like you go on shul and then there's a long thing and then you take a break and you go home and you come back. It's not quite like that. But there needs to be a break. So you need to do shul time in the shul place, a break, we go outside. All these things need definitely structure. So that's the davening. I hope those ideas are sort of helpful, but that's really, really important. I think another thing that needs a lot of planning is the meals. Now, the reason I'm talking so much about planning is because, in general, in parenting, b'chalal, if you want children to be involved in something, the more planning, the better. Because what you don't want is to spring things on children that they're a bit resistant to do. And suddenly when it comes and then you spring something on them and then they resist it, it becomes a lot of tension. You want to, as much as possible, if you cannot have it at all, to avoid tension, to avoid conflict. You want them to be involved, but you need to get them there. You need to carry them with you till they get there, right? So that's why everything needs planning. And in parenting general, the more you talk about something before it comes, the more you agree on what's going to happen before it comes, the more it's not a surprise, and the more children fit in. So it's both in the planning of it, the details. When I say planning the meals, I spoke before about making them part of the shopping list and what you're going to buy and so on and so forth. But it's not just that. It's also planning the actual meals. You might have a bunch of children at home. They've come back with lots of different things. Maybe different. There's four meals in Rosh Hashanah, right? So you don't want to have like the first night, every kid pulls out all the material that got sent home from school and all the booklets that they made and all the machzorim and everything, and everyone dumps it on the first night. It's a balagan. And then you don't have anything for the other meals. Spread it out. Make sure that maybe each meal a different child does something or a different aspect does something. Maybe plan each meal to talk about a tefillah of the machzor. It's very, very important two things are very important. I want to say both parts of the puzzle over here. It's really, really important. And I know the schools have put a lot of effort into preparing the children of Rosh Hashanah as best as they can in this year's context. It's really important that you, if they have Divrei Torah to share, that you ask them to share it and you show interest and you listen and you really get involved in the stuff that they've learned and the stuff that they think at the meals. And you plan this out that they, you know, each child is going to share it at a different time, whatever the case is, right? Really, really important. They've put a lot of effort. The teachers have put a lot of effort. It's important that they see that you really think it's important, the stuff that they've done and the stuff that they've learned and the stuff that they've prepared for without you, right? On the other hand, however, to have a Shabbos or Yom Tov meal, and particularly on Rosh Hashanah, where all you're doing is listening to stuff that they're reading off the different sheets and Divrei Torah that they've learned in school, that's not enough. Because they need to see that you're also prepared. They need to see that you're excited. So here's the homework for parents. That you also need to make sure, research cute things, gematrias, nice things, nice stories. Prepare a Dvar Torah, the mother, the father, whatever the case is, tear a Dvar Torah for each time, a nice story, a nice chap, a quiz, maybe have a quiz each meal, whatever the case is. We're actually going to be sending home, I think the Kastor is going to be sending home, we're going to be sending home like a little quiz book for kids with more basic answers and advanced answers, so you can use that, you can do other things. There's so much online today, research, but spend the time before Rosh Hashanah preparing this. Obviously age appropriate for each child, right? So you can each meal, you can focus on another thing, prepare a nigun for each meal. Make sure that the meals are really special, especially this year where the shul experience is a bit different. That the meals are very, very special. The davening time is special. I would also, again, especially with children get older, it's really important on Rosh Hashanah, as we know, not to waste time. There's a concept of Rosh Hashanah as much as possible, that we, of course, we have Yom Tov meals and we celebrate, etc., the new year, and we have Bitochen that Hashem is going to bench us. That's why in Nehemiah it says we should eat nice things, etc. But at the same time, you know, learning extra, saying Tehillim extra on Rosh Hashanah is really important. If you have kids, give them goals. Offer them incentives, like each chapter of Tehillim, they say, is worth something, and they work towards a prize or whatever works in your family. But plan this before. Things that they can maybe do. Maybe make, you know, different ages, different goals, and so on and so forth. Now, this I'm talking a lot about Rosh Hashanah, but the truth is that it all applies, the same thing applies to Yom Kippur as well. Yom Kippur also needs the same structure. First of all, there's Erev Yom Kippur. Shiva, Shabbos Shiva. Same thing, same preparation applies and so on. But there's Erev Yom Kippur, of course. Erev Yom Kippur, the minhag is to have two meals. I say this every year, that it's important to have two Yom Tov type meals on Erev Yom Kippur. This year, even more important, because this year, what happens in the home has much more significance. Proper, there's with chalas, honey, and there's all the minhagim of Erev Yom Kippur. The mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, if you have older kids, structure, prepare the times for mincha on Erev Yom Kippur. And of course, then all the stuff on Yom Kippur, which is going to be a bit more difficult this year, as we said before. But again, you have to sit down, make the same seder, make the same plan, same structure, times for davening, the place for davening. You know, I said before, the place for davening, maybe you can decorate that place for davening, put a white sheets, like a white tablecloth, or maybe make it white, anything that will make it look more like a shul, whatever the case is, that it should have that atmosphere. Now, of course, we're coming up to Sukkos. I want to say this is also very, very important. The excitement of Sukkot is also really, really important. And again, a bit more difficult this year, because all has to happen at home. But there's you need to do this long before, like already from Rosh Hashanah, even before, to discuss and talk about all the mitzvahs, you know, Lulav and Esrog, to discuss where we're getting it, where we're getting our rovers for, we're getting our dasim for, whatever discussion we normally have, and there are always lots in Sydney because there's always tension here. You can't just go out in the street and buy it like in other places. Involve your children in the planning. Tell them where you're going to get it from. Now, normally I always say to parents, take your children with you when you choose to live in Esther. That's not going to be too possible this year. It's going to be much more click and collect sort of situation. But when you do get your Esther, when you go to get Esther, when you pick it up, come home, take it out of the box, show your children, call the family together. Oh, we got an Esther. What does the Esther look like? Why is it a nice Esther? What do you think about the Esther? The shape, the color, the lulav, the arovas, the adasim, and so on and so forth. Involve them in the whole thing. The sukkah, the same way, very, very important this year. Don't just take 10 minutes and put a pop-up thing and put the, I mean, for some people they have to do that, but, and take a schach mat, but get your children involved. For those that have a minig decorations, get your children lots, very involved. Don't buy decorations. Let them make it. Let them design it. Let them produce it. Make a time. All that stuff has to be a lot of sort of going up to Sukkot, really planning to Sukkot to get them involved in all the preparations, just like I spoke about Rosh Hashanah, the same sort of idea. Now, the same thing with Sukkot is the same thing with Rosh Hashanah. It needs to be time for davening, and I would prepare ahead of advance Hallel. Hallel is a big thing on Yontif. Prepare the songs. Practice them with your children before Sukkot comes. Practice Yontif songs. Practice Yontif ideas, Yontif stories, but particularly the Hallel. Say Hallel together as a family. By the way, there's halachas regarding that even. Even there's halachas, you know, you say Hallel, the Chazan, we had this the first lockdown, Pesach, we discussed this, right? Normally the Chazan says certain things and there's a certain way the congregation responds. That's even true. I'll point to the halachas, even true when you say it. Something to do with men or women, it's okay. The whole family can say it together. And then one person should lead the halal after bar mitzvah, preferably, and others could respond, and you respond in the same way that a chazan does. So you all have to become chazanim, and all that people have to become congregations, and learn how to respond. Go over how you respond. Look at the siddur, the hoidu Hashem ki tov, the honor Hashem voishiyano. All these things can be done, and sing halal, but practice it before. Get your children involved. Make times for davening. Make times for halal. Prepare the nanuim, the brachas. All these things need to be all done. Before, and of course, this year on Sukkot, by the looks of things, we're all going to do it at home. So therefore, the meals, as much as possible, the meals need to be really levedic. You know, some shuls they have a kiddush, they have a fabrengen, they have a get together. This year, you got to do it all at home. So prepare it well. Again, parents do homework. Look, find stories. So many beautiful divrei Torah on Sukkot. Again, plan the meals. Every meal, someone else. Every meal, different child. Whatever the case is. I'm hesitant to talk about the next part, but I have a lot of bitochen and I have a munna that hakafas somehow we're going to be able to do together. But if chas v'shalom not, hakafas has to go on and we're going to have to do, they work very, very, very hard. So I'm reminded, I think my son said it once before, one of the gatherings we had, I'm reminded of a very... And I think this is a lesson b'chlal, just generally. See, and I think this, I'll end off with this, and I'll talk about Simchas Torah, but also I think this is a story which highlights everything that we're going to do. It all depends how much we ourselves become connected with the whole thing, right? The story I was going to tell you is a story that we mentioned before about the Lubavitcher Rebbe's father, Reb Levi Yitzchak, at the end of his life. He was a very big mekubel of great tzaddik. He was exiled. He was sent to some faraway place, Kazakhstan. And he was in tremendous exile for a few years. And his wife, his Rebbe Tzinchana, the Rebbe's mother, managed to make it there with him for some of the time. But even when his exile finished, he was very weak and very sick. She writes about it, right? And it was really, by the time his exile was finished, it was really, the war, and it was really, anyway. So one of the things in her diary she writes, she describes the Simchas Torah. The Simchas Torah that she had there was, she describes first of all the room they had. There was hardly anything there, there was hardly any room to move in that room. It was just a table, a chair, something, right? Reb Levi Yitzchak had hardly any svarim. He managed to take a few svarim with him. He was a big mekubel. He had a Zohar with him, which he wrote notes on, which we have Svarim today from those notes. He had a Tanya with him. But he had a few Svarim, just a few things. And she describes the Simchas Torah. And she describes the Simchas Torah where he took a Sefer that he had. And he made a kofis. He had no room. He didn't have a Sefer Torah, and he didn't have any room to dance. But he did it. He took the sefer. He said the Atar Reisa, but he said it mamish like in shul. Oh, the whole niggin is mechabed, and so on. So to say Atar Reisa, and he said Atar Reisa, pasuk by pasuk, and then he made kiddush. He said l'chaim. I don't know what he did exactly. And then he took a chair. And he went around the chair. He made the hakafas after every hakafah. He danced as if, she says, as if there's mamish lots of people there. What's the pshat? So I'm only saying this because if chas v'shalom, we have this matzav on Simchas Torah, which I really hope we won't, but if Chas Shalom we are, then that's what we're going to have to do. Take your favorite sefer and do hakafas with your family. But the story is also indicative of a deeper thing. Why was he able to do it? It wasn't even that he planned such a thing and he went to a session and this is what he did. For him, there was actually no difference if there was a crowd there or not. I mean, a crowd helps. We all know that's the power of a tzibur, right? The power of a tzibur is that we inspire each other. We lift each other up. And it's a painful thing. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a very, very painful thing. I know that Tishrei is a highlight. We go through this journey together and we mechazik each other. We lift each other up. We daven with each other. We cry with each other. We dance with each other. We fabreng with each other. We learn with each other. And it's a tremendous chizuk. But the truth is, this year there's a special thing to it. This year we have to become like Reb Levi Yitzchak, meaning that we have to be so connected ourselves to the Yom Tov. We have to be so connected to the Rosh Hashanah, to the Yom Kippur, to the Sukkot. We have to be so connected to the Yom Tov in our own right by learning before ourselves, by getting excited ourselves, by researching the stuff I talked about before, the Minhagim, the Tfilois, by studying some of the Davening, by going to the Shurim on Zoom before, whatever the case is. But by the time it comes, we have to try and pump ourselves up so much that standing in our home, we tucker like shul. That in Mirtz Hashem, well, Mirtz Hashem will have a minyan, but if Chas V'Shalom not, that when you stand in your dining room and you sing Avinu Malkeinu, it'll do the same kavanah as if there's 100 people in. And even when the Ne'ilah, if it comes in the Ne'ilah, and normally you stand in shul and you scream that Shema Yisrael, or you scream that Ne'ilah, or you daven out loud, or you sing the Nigunim, you'll do exactly the same in exactly the same way with yourself, together with your family, and your children will see, they will travel with you. If they see it on you, they will travel with you. As I said, this is what I started off with, that a lot of this has to do with the way, the vibe that we give off. If we internalize the Yom Tovim, if we build that relationship with the Yom Tovim ourselves, it will rub off. We need the planning, we need all the examples, and I'm sure many of you have much more creative and even better examples than I've given. I just wanted to spark a discussion. But There's no doubt that if we try ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things that we can't handle. So therefore, if he puts us in this matzah, we can do it. And we just need to imagine, we need to put ourselves in that we doing exactly the same thing. The Ne'il is going to be the same, the Shofar is going to be the same, the Nigunim are going to be the same. And we do that, then we'll take our children with us. But again, as I said right in the beginning, it starts now. The journey starts already. The planning starts already. Involve your children in everything, the shopping lists, the minhagim, the everything, the planning, each meal out, the planning, the davening, the structure, and so on and so forth. Getting them to be involved, getting us to be involved. They share with us, we share with them, and Mirtz Hashem will travel this all together. I'm just going to have a look at... So first of all, Rabbi Levy's put in the chat, it's in the chat, or you can read yourself, but...
There's been a question about not having a sukkah.
Yeah, I'm going to get it in a second. So first of all, prepare. Tomorrow night we're doing the basic guide for also on the same Zoom link. Tomorrow night we're doing the basic guide of Rosh Hashanah Machzor. This is sort of just those who need a bit of more help just to navigate all the tefillos. It will be a more basic level with some insights also, but more basic. Thursday, the 2nd of September, which is next week, right? This Thursday week, I think. Yeah. We're going to do... So the basic one is tomorrow night, and the basic one for Yom Kippur is the 12th of September. The more advanced one, with more sort of going through all the tefillos and insights and so on, is going to be Thursday, 2nd of September for Rosh Hashanah, Monday, 13th of September for Yom Kippur with halachas and divrei Torah, all on this link. Now, if you don't have a sukkah and due to lockdowns, how will it work this year? I'm assuming that the person asking this question lives in an apartment building. That's a very good question. It's a question which I've been thinking about the last few days, and it's coming up now. There's a couple of different options. Option one, of course, is to beg your body corporate and explain to them that you're going to starve for a week if you don't have a sukkah. So it's probably not a good idea, and therefore to beg them for a shus, explain to them how you're going to do it completely COVID safe, and so on and so forth. If not, there's another option. One option is, and I'm busy researching halachically how to do this on Yom Tov, but maybe there's a small spot, you can just put even a pop-up sukkah, enough for one thing, and those who are not makpid to have everything in the sukkah, only bread and mezonos, at least you can wash and have a bread meal there quickly in a one-person sukkah. I'm exploring different options of how to do that, but I mean, obviously we need a sukkah, but especially first night, and obviously we can't eat bread and cake outside of a sukkah. So if I have any other ideas, I'm going to come back to people in Mitzvah Hashem, by the other shurim. Maybe I'm sure other people have some aces also, but I mean, we really have to. I've been thinking about this the last few days. In apartment buildings, it's a very, very big problem. I see a comment here. Shir Halev. Oh, beautiful. Shir Halev is a website to teach people different holiday songs and zmiros. I'm assuming you Google Shir Halev, you'll come to that. That's an excellent idea. Whatever you can get, there's so much on the web today. Just search, and there's good stuff. But whatever you can get your hands on, use it, and whatever works for you, share it. So I guess let me just conclude just with a bracha to everyone. Obviously, we know that one of the most powerful things, the Maharil talks about this, that already in Elul, when you write a letter to your friend, you should give him brachas. We know, of course, on the first night, Rosh Hashanah, when you finish davening, and of course, you need to do it this year as well, in your shul at home, when you finish davening, everyone says to each other, Lashana Toiva, Tekasa, Vesechasim, because the brachas we give each other are very, very powerful. So I want to wish everyone a Ksiva, Vachsima Toiva, Shana Toiva, Mesukah, Begashmias, Beruchnis, and let's just bench each other and help each other and inspire each other leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to have the most amazing Rosh Hashanah, the most amazing Tishrei Mirtzah Hashem. And whichever way, whichever form it comes, we're going to do it in the most amazing and meaningful and deep way we could. Just the more planning, the more Siyata Dishmai we'll have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, that we'll definitely be able to have. Now, there's a question here.
There's been two more questions.
Yeah, I see that, children will need to eat on Yom Kippur. How should this be managed? I would assume it's even easier than most years. In other words, normally you get the little bags that come to shul. This year, you have to prepare the bags before. Now, so the halacha on Yom Kippur is you can make food for children. And if you dirty your hands by making food for children, you can wash your hands even. Prepare whatever you would normally do, whenever the child would normally eat, that's the plan. So whenever they would leave shul or not coming to shul yet and have their lunch and thing, or in the break, whatever the cake, whatever age they are, so manage it exactly the same way, I suppose. Very good question. What is about the Torah's Nedarim this year? So I want to just say a couple of ideas. I've been thinking about that as well. I'll tell you what I have in my mind so far. So a Torah's Nedarim, you need, it's done Erev Rosh Hashanah, you need four people, right? There is a leniency about doing a Torah's Nedarim through a shliach. Now, it's not so simple that, but it only works that you still need to have the three dayanim in one place. Now, if you got family, for example, if you live in an apartment block or you have a next-door neighbor, and you can get four people across balconies even, then that's the way to do it. Otherwise, maybe there will be. Otherwise, you find maybe there are houses that have three people in it over bar mitzvah, because a Torah's Nedarim you don't need that can be related. So there might be. I'm gonna write this up and send it out, because there might be a way to do it that if you mamish can't find three people together, then you can do it through a shliach, but maybe through a family that has three people in the house, and they'll be able to do it that way. But I am in the middle. It's a little bit early on. It's on my list.
Does the shliach have to be in the same time in the same time zone? You can ask someone in America for the
point. Could be. I'm still working out how to do it through a shliach. I know this concept exists, so I want to answer properly now because I don't know exactly. So I will write it up. It'll be one of the emails in Mitzvah Hashem. But I'm busy. I'm busy working through that concept. That's an issue. And that's it. I think that's more or less it. Again, everyone, a good gibench to yar. Please do a lot of preparation yourself. If you please come on all the other shurim that we're going to have. Lots of stuff happening next 2 weeks. So follow the broadcasts and all the other stuff. And just hatzlacha rabba and lots of nachas from your family and your children. And the best tishra ever, Mirza Hashem. Kol tov.